Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Happy New Year to those of you who only listen to this podcast, if you exist. And if you do, good for you. You should try some of our other podcasts. But Happy New Year to you. Russell Johnson's here. We're going to take questions from the RebelGrove.com message board. A lot of recruiting still, even though it's the dead period. Ole Miss, we record this on a Thursday. Ole Miss hired Charles Clark today, presumably to be their 10th assistant coach. We'll touch on what that might mean or what it might not mean for this class and going forward. He's a former Ole Miss player. He's been at Oregon most recently, I believe. And so he joins the Ole Miss staff. I know that there was talk about him going to Florida State, but he is part of the Ole Miss staff as reported by Chase earlier this morning, and I think Bruce Feldman confirmed it on the internet earlier today. So anyway, let me tell you first about Billy's Pecans. The holiday season obviously is over, but people still have birthdays. People still have corporate thank yous, that type thing. Billy's gift towers, samplers, gift bags, and more are perfect business or family gifts. You can still order Billy's blueberry pecan coffee cake or cinnamon pecan coffee for a special occasion or just because you want to have a really nice Saturday morning treat. All you have to do is go to gifts@billyspecans.com, send them an email. You can email a list of recipients. They'll sort that for you. They'll put your logo on your gift. And they'll even provide a complimentary gift card for you to express whatever you wish to that special person. Go to billyspecans.com. See what they have to offer. Their two most popular gifts for corporate clients are the Simply Duo and the Party Trio. But everything you see is a perfect gift. Like I said, birthdays, maybe Valentine's Day, some of that type thing. It's all there at Billy's Pecans. Gifts at Billy's Pecans, 1-800-624-7404. And Stacy or Bailey will assist you with your gifting needs. We met Stacy and her husband Jim at the MPW/RebelGrove.com Christmas party. Russell, you were there. I think it's the last time I saw you before you left for Ohio. So welcome back to Mississippi, and you brought the weather with you.
I think I might have just a little bit. It seems to have warmed up actually compared to yesterday.
It's not bad today. Everybody's walking like, oh my God, it's not that bad. It was in the 30s.
Yeah, I turned my heat on for the first time when I first got back to Mississippi and kind of felt like a little bit of a baby. But when it was single digits here at one point, so I didn't really have a choice.
Pretty cold in Ohio when you were there?
Yeah, I don't think it hit 25 the whole time I was there. I was there, 10 days, and it didn't change the whole time.
The Akron's northeast of Cleveland?
South.
South
of Cleveland.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I've been to Cleveland a few times. I've covered the Browns. Been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's nice.
Been to the NCAA tournament.
They played it in Cleveland? Was it at the Q?
No, it wasn't at the Q. They played it at Cleveland State.
Okay, well, at the Wollstein Center.
Yeah, the Wollstein Center. That's exactly where it was. I walked from my hotel to the Wollstein Center.
It's an interesting part of town.
It was. There were a couple of moments there that I thought this probably wasn't the best decision I could have made. But I was fine.
Yeah, Cleveland's an interesting place. I think it's going to be even more interesting in the next couple of years after LeBron leaves, see how many people are going to stick around that area.
Oh, you think his leaving will impact people staying in Cleveland?
Oh my gosh, the economy in Akron and Cleveland are so much different compared to when LeBron left in 2010 to 2014 to when he came back. It's been astronomical.
All right, we're going to get to recruiting in a second, I promise. Everybody just chill a minute. So you were there. What's the buzz? Is there just no chance he stays in Cleveland after this season?
They've got to improve the team around him. I mean, it looks a lot like the team that he took to the finals single-handedly against the Spurs. What was it, 2007? They lost four. Yeah.
Now, this team is better than that one. It has Kevin Love. It just added Isaiah Thomas.
I mean, it's got the names. It's got the names, but there's no defense.
No, they're not a good defensive team. Where's the sense there as to where he'll go? The reason I ask is because I was watching the Lakers last night, and there's all the talk about Paul George and LeBron James going to L.A. to play for the Lakers. And look, Ball didn't play, and all Ball jokes aside, he's a nice young player. But there's absolutely zero empirical data at this point to suggest that he is two or fewer years away from leading a team to the NBA title. And the other dudes, Kuzma's a nice player, and then it's just a bunch of pieces. Just pieces. And every NBA team, every single one has pieces all over the place. Even the bad teams have pieces. You have to have more than pieces. My point is I don't know that for all the talk of LeBron's going to L.A., okay, I mean, if he's going to L.A. because he wants to live in L.A., I get it. Because if you're super rich, there are a few places better to live than L.A.
Yeah, I mean, But
if it's to go win, if it's to go win another title, to add one more or two more to his crown, that's not a good bet. The Lakers are a bad bet, even if Paul George went with him.
Yeah, I mean, you have two small forwards. What are you going to do with that?
Well, I mean, LeBron could play the four.
He could. Or George could play the four. The talk around the area is Houston.
Well, Houston would make a ton of sense.
Yeah, Houston with Paul and Harden and LeBron. I mean, we're far, far off the recruiting landscape. But
I'm just curious what people there say. Because people talk about Los Angeles for Paul George, and they talk about Los Angeles for LeBron James. I get that it makes a modicum of sense for Paul George because it's home.
I don't see the fit for LeBron whatsoever.
But for LeBron, it's the end. You're not going to be able to bring enough there to catch a handful of teams in the West, much less just the Warriors.
Exactly. And, I mean, LeBron would stick out like a sore thumb in L.A. I mean, obviously he's changed in the past, 15 or 16 years he's been in the NBA. But with LeBron, he's always been this, like, wholesome, kind of down-to-earth guy.
All right. They're mad at me now. I apologize. Please formally accept my apology. I apologize on behalf of all of humanity for making you listen to about 5 minutes of NBA and Cleveland talk. I apologize. I'm very sorry. Forgive me. All right. To the questions. First, I'll ask you about Charles Clark, impact that has on recruiting, or is it way too early to really have any idea?
Right now, I'd say it's too early to have a full idea. Obviously, he was recruiting, like I put on in the Nuggets, Jalen Reed from Olive Branch. He was recruiting him pretty heavily at Oregon, and he may try to push to get McGriff and the rest of the staff to reevaluate him and possibly take him in this class. But other than that, it's really going to be just a matter of time, you know, understanding exactly what his role is going to be and, you know, where his territory might be. He has a history recruiting the state of Georgia, which might help a lot because right now I think they have like four or five different coaches recruiting in that area, and that seems to be a priority going forward.
Georgia does.
Yeah, every year. I mean, it just seems to be growing in importance. If you look at the most recent offers, I believe almost all of them have come from the state of Georgia in the class of 2018.
A lot of people move there. They don't necessarily have ties. Georgia's beginning to recruit nationally.
Oh, yeah.
Which means that they're going to take fewer kids in-state just for the hell of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what's happening. That's what's happened at LSU with a town in Louisiana as well.
Yeah, we could have a whole other conversation about what's happening at LSU.
Well, yeah.
we have time. We'll get there eventually. All right. Simica asks, is the only way Ruggs gets in this class is if they miss on Cameron Jones? So fill people like me in as to who Ruggs is and then go from there.
Kevontae Ruggs is Henry or Harry Ruggs, the wide receiver for Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
That's his brother. Okay, yeah. He played in the Mississippi-Alabama game, and I mean, he had his moments, but the other schools waiting on with him are Florida Atlantic and Lane Kiffin, and there's always the possibility with him that Alabama could call on National Signing Day and say, hey, you've got a spot here, you can commit. And if he wants to commit, I mean, if they want him, he'll commit. There's no doubt about that whatsoever.
Sure. So it's Alabama, it's his brother. Yeah.
Ole Miss doesn't really want to, you know, waste their time and go all in on someone like that when they've got these several other high 3- and 4-star rated linebackers that they're trying to get on campus for visits and stuff.
Okay. Speaking of Marshall Reb, ask who are the top five. I don't know. Maybe that's five. Who are the top running backs and linebackers that Ole Miss would like to sign?
I've got three running backs. You've got Charles Strong, the former Florida State commit. You've got everybody's favorite, Harold Joyner. He's been the topic of several message board threads the past week. And you've got Maurice Washington, a kind of a unknown name. You might actually know quite a bit more about him after tonight in the Under Armour game. People have already have watched the Under Armour game by the time they hear this, but he's an Under Armour All-American. He missed most of his senior year after transferring to Trinity Christian in Texas. He's someone who's going to likely end up at a JUCO, but if there is a slight chance, he could qualify. And then at the linebacker position, I've got six names for you. You've got Chris Oates and Caleb Tanner at the top, 2 4-stars. Oates is obviously from Ohio. Tanner's from Georgia. You've got Jaden McDonald, also from Georgia, with Caleb Kelly, also from Georgia. And then you've got the back end. You've got 2 JUCO linebackers who are kind of a plan Z or plan Y. I mean, they're if you miss on everybody, those are the two that you're going to get. And that's Rahsaan York and Lorenzo McCaskill from Holmes County.
Okay. I'll ask you about Joyner because you're right. There's probably I haven't even finished reading through the thread. There's probably 8 Joyner questions in here. So let's knock them out at one big swing of the bat. We're going to just take a Javi Baez swing here. Go for all of it. What's the deal with Harold Joyner?
Okay, so Joyner was going to commit to LSU on December 20th. He was going to commit and sign with Ed Orgeron. And Ed Orgeron and his staff just stopped answering the phones. They stopped showing all interest. They kind of stonewalled him, I guess, for lack of better words. And when they did that, Ole Miss had kind of become the leader pretty quickly. But then word started going around that, you know, Ole Miss was thinking about possibly taking him at tight end or linebacker and that he might not have a real shot at playing running back. And he wasn't too fond of that. So when he got to the Army game, the Army Bowl earlier this week and started doing interviews, he kind of surprised everybody when he said Ole Miss was out. And when he said Ole Miss was out, that was also before the whole Auburn situation happened where Kerryon Johnson and Cam Petway both declared for the draft in consecutive days to the point to now where he could have the soft landing spot of Gus Malzahn's offense and the recent history they've had at running back.
But would they play him at running back?
Yes, but and then you've also got the Kavoisier Smoke, the kid from Wetumpka, if I pronounced that right.
He's the one that had the big Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game.
Yes. He had a big game. And Auburn's been going hard after him. They haven't fully offered yet. But with another domino with Smoke is Kentucky. They offered real early. They were actually one of his first Power 5 offers. And with Smoke, Kentucky lost one of their running backs on the roster from last year. Was Bryant Kobach, who they were actually expecting quite a bit from next year. And he's gone. So there's a possibility Smoke could end up there as well.
Okay, EA Fins Up asks, will Ole Miss get another safety, or is Cam White going to be it?
Cam White is not going to be it. They want to take another safety, and they've got 3 main options. They've got Cam Jones, the 4-star from Texas. I think he's probably going to end up in Nebraska. You've got Tyrese Hurd, another safety from Texas. I mean, he's a tweener. He's a safety corner. I mean, don't really know where he would project into the SEC. And then you've got Joseph Fuchsia, if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. He's from McDonough 35 High School in Louisiana.
Yeah, down in New Orleans.
Yeah, he's another one that LSU stopped showing interest in. And he's going to be between, I'd say, Ole Miss and Auburn. It's going to be a numbers game at Auburn, and then Ole Miss will swoop right in at the last minute is what they're hoping for if they strike out on Jones. Hurd is not above Fuchsia Fuchs above Hurd, but a lot of people ask, you'll see in that thread, they were asking about who was the higher on the board between Jones and Fuchs. They would take Jones over almost anybody. But if Fuchs ends up happening, that's a great fit as well.
All right, Nas asks, Nas on the show, how about that? Nas asks, what's the deal with Merlin Robertson? Why would Ole Miss not be very interested and make him a top priority? To Nas, he looks like the best linebacker target remaining, and he wants to play in the SEC.
Recruiting analyst Nas.
Dang right.
with Merlin Robertson, he might actually have an Ole Miss offer by the time you hear this. He's somebody who, for quite a while, he kind of kept it quiet that he wanted to play in the SEC, thought he would end up with Tennessee and Butch Jones.
He's a kid from Michigan?
Oh, no. No, Merlin Robertson is from, I think it's Junipero Serra in California.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants to play in the SEC, and if the opportunity were to arise, Ole Miss would obviously have that to offer, as well as, you know, quite a bit of playing time. I mean, if those two factors combine, I mean, I don't understand why he wouldn't if Ole Miss did offer. But currently, it seems to me that Arizona State is the front runner in his recruitment. So Herm Edwards getting a nice 4-star linebacker.
You play to win the game. You recruit to win the game. Is he an SEC player? Does he have SEC speed? Often that's the problem for the kids that come from other regions.
Yeah.
Is it takes them so long to adjust to the different speed.
He's got the speed. He's an inside linebacker at the next level, which is obviously something that Ole Miss could use.
Reb Talking 18, interested in flips. Ask if you're expecting any flips anytime soon.
2018 or 2019?
He wants to know about 2019 flips.
Oh, I mean, I've tried to be as read between the lines about this as I possibly could, but it just seems like people can't see the forest for the trees.
There are people that don't want to read between the lines.
No, and it leaves them in the dark. I mean, they're in the pitch black dark.
No, I don't think they are. I think they know. They want you to tell them.
Well, see, I'm not going to do that.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Because you got to honor your sources or the kids themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a bro code in a way with recruiting. You don't do that.
All right. Rebel QB, so I assume this is Jordan Tamu asking this question. He's asking about the addition of Austin Thomas. Who are the top three? I'll get that in a second. What are you hearing about Austin Thomas? Is that a done deal? It sort of sounds like it.
It sounds like it's a done deal. It just seems to be a matter of formality. I don't believe that either one or two of the other off-the-field main recruiters would stay on board under his regime in a way. And, you know, Austin Thomas is obviously known as, you know, you've talked about on the family of podcasts this week. He's known as someone who is organized and efficient. That's what he would become with the recruiting program,
which was the knock on Freeze.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, Freeze had one of the top rated off the field recruiting staffs in the country, but they weren't organized, and obviously they were sloppy.
And Matt came in and inherited that, and there wasn't a whole lot he could do with it.
No.
Season.
Yeah, in July, you have no choice.
And so now he's got the job, and he's obviously got to shore that up.
Yeah, I mean, I think Luke kind of hinted around at the possibility of adding someone like an Austin Thomas.
Yeah, I think if there was some read between the lines there,
yeah,
that he was going to.
Yeah, at the early.
He was trying to say it without insulting the people that were in the building.
Yes, when he said reshuffling. Yeah, yeah. That's a nice way to put it. But with Austin Thomas, he's a. You know, he's known very well in the not just the recruiting community, but the secondhand community, the Demetric Warrens, the National Playmaker Academies, those kind of places and those kind of companies. They have a very good relationship with Austin, and he could also have the possibility of, you know, being a factor in repairing the recruiting in the city of Memphis.
Powder Blues ask. The latest projection, I guess, assuming he's referring to your projection, the latest projection doesn't include DeAndre Hyman. Where does he end up? Does losing him affect the commitment of the 2019 defensive end from Meridian?
The quick answer to that is I don't know. But from talking to people in Meridian and around Hyman in the past week, it seems like Mississippi State's going to try to get back at Ole Miss for taking James Williams on the early signing period. But there's also some Big Ten programs who have started to kind of show interest in Heisman. Maryland and Michigan State are both interested in possibly getting him up there for a visit. And then you've always got the wild card right now. I mean, Alabama doesn't seem to be recruiting at their normal capacity, so they could always come in and offer him late, add a body.
Why is Alabama, quote, struggling, end quote, in recruiting? And when I say that, I'm putting it in quotes because they still have a great class.
Yeah.
It's not
Alabama standard.
Doesn't appear to be the class they've put together the last 9 years.
No, I really don't think you can pick just one thing. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the loss of Kirby Smart. You've got you've had so much turnover on that staff so quickly, and you could still have more that, you know, these kids, they want to commit to the program, but I mean, let's face it, Nick Saban's getting old too. I mean, he's not going to be there forever.
You have that on good sourcing?
I mean, how old is Nick Saban?
I don't know. I mean, I'm asking. You're saying he won't be there forever.
Yes, I can guarantee you he will not be buried in Tuscaloosa.
Are you saying he's mortal?
Yes.
Son of a... Wow. That's a hot take. All right. So does that affect the 2019 kid from Meridian?
No. Oh, I didn't even mention Jamon Gordon. I don't really think it does. That would have to be something that is handled through the head coach with Meridian, Hampton, and kind of go from there with that. I don't think necessarily that Ole Miss is going to drop Heisman. I think that it's kind of a different way of doing things. Heisman wants to take visits. He didn't sign early for a reason. Neither did Ja'Cory Hawkins, the cornerback from Alabama, who is going to take a couple visits as well.
Okay. UM98 Rebel asked about the recruiting strategy of the current staff. He says, is it fair, or she, could be a she, is it fair to say this staff intends to build from the inside out? In other words, is it Mississippi first, then the region second, national third?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Obviously, Mississippi in the class of 2019 is a much bigger priority than the state of Mississippi in the class of 2018. It seems like the well of talent in the state of Mississippi for the class of 2018 is drying up quickly. And as we just talked about, the state of Georgia has become a major factor in the finish for this class of 2018, as has the state of Texas, and the state of California might have their say as well.
All right, we know Ole Miss got their quarterback for the 18 class and Matt Corral. They're going to obviously look to add another one in 19. So along those lines, C. Moses asks, what's up with Casey Kelly? Do you think he is a guy Ole Miss will look at, or are there several quarterbacks in front of him?
That's the quarterback from New York. I don't necessarily right now see him being on their radar. Ole Miss is going to... They're gonna shoot for some local guys at first with quarterbacks, and then they'll branch out. I don't see him as somebody they'll look at currently.
North Tampa Rebel wants to know what you're hearing from coaches. He refers to runners in the state.
Do you know what a runner is?
I don't. I would assume a runner is someone who likes to get out and run some, just likes to jog a little.
Someone on a coaching staff who has a good relationship with the agents of the world.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me there's runners and agents?
Yes.
Wow.
Runners, agents, handlers.
So today you've informed us that there are runners, agents, and handlers, and that Nick Saban is mortal.
It's a breaking day on the Soft Verbal Podcast.
Wow, there's a lot to absorb here. Y'all thought I wasted your time with 5 minutes of NBA talk. What are you hearing from coaches and runners in the state about one Coach Moorhead at Mississippi State as he gets his first class together?
He's starting to work on repairing the stuff that he kind of, I wouldn't say he messed up, but he didn't handle things in the right way when he first got here.
In what way? What did he do?
There was a running back from Hattiesburg who's committed for quite some time.
You can have some water. You've been talking a lot. We'll pause.
Yeah, so anyways, the Hattiesburg running back, Fabian Franklin.
Yes.
He'd been committed for quite some time and had been in constant communication with Dan Mullen and company.
Okay.
New coaching staff comes in. There's no communication. The line of communication is just gone. With that, you know, Coach Vance, the head coach at Hattiesburg, starts calling the Mississippi State coach, is trying to figure out what to do. You know, if he should try to get Franklin a backup spot just in case something happens.
Yeah, do you need to find him a home?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because Franklin wanted to sign early, and
he shut his recruiting down.
Yeah, which is exactly what he did. He ended up at TCU, but Vance wasn't pleased with that, and Vance has a really, really strong network in the state of Mississippi with other coaches, with other people, and just in general. And there are some other high schools as well that, you know, Moorhead didn't make the best first impression with, but it seems that he's starting to kind of send out some offers, show some interest, and, you know, he's going to still recruit in a national landscape, which is something that Mullen tried to do, but it doesn't seem that he's not going to be doing Mississippi made. Like, there's a running back from Starkville yesterday who tweeted out an offer from Mississippi State, and he got reprimanded pretty hard for it because it wasn't a, we want you to come play for us, you can commit today offer, which also didn't sit right with the Starkville people. So he's definitely got some fences to mend and some things to do.
Is it just a cultural thing, or did he just come in and inherit a totally different philosophy?
Well, first, he came in to Dan Mullen having far more commits than they have spots, which is something that Mullen was probably going to have to finagle himself out of some way. But when he had that, when he walked into that, there wasn't really anything he could do.
Yeah.
So he started telling kids, hey, you know, I don't have a spot for you. And then what he did when he essentially dropped Jalen Reed for the possibility to take Devontae Jason, the wide receiver from New Orleans, Mississippi didn't like that very much either.
Yeah, that's how that works. That was nice of Mullen to leave him with that problem.
I'm sure he'll be thanking him next year.
Mullen's like, peace out. Yeah. This podcast is brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years. He has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson and Flowood area, but he services the entire state of Mississippi, from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast and all points in between. I've known John for 2 decades. You can take my word for it. John's going to take good care of you. It's going to be great personal service for you in your real estate. Contact John at fidelitymort.com or at 601-842-9764. Fidelity Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 1039190. All right, so back to the questions. Swag for Heisman wants to know, does the staff believe that Phillips, I assume he's referring to the running back, can come in and start day one? How else? That was Chase calling. You know he knows we're recording a podcast right now. How else does not for sure taking Strong make sense?
I mean, it just comes down to numbers. I know everybody quotes you as saying, you know, the numbers will work if they need to.
Well, let me say what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
Because people always go, well, that's not how it works, Neil. My point is this. Name me a 5-star running back. Anywhere.
James Cook.
Let's just say, you know, has he already signed somewhere?
I don't believe so.
Okay, perfect. Let's just say that on, what's signing day, February 7th?
Yes.
That on the morning of February the 5th, James Cook gets in contact with Ole Miss and says, I want to sign. I've been talking to Matt Corral. I've been talking to this dude and this dude, and I see your depth chart. And me and my family came to Oxford. We didn't tell anybody. We looked around. I liked it. I went to St. Leo. That pasta was really good. I'm in. Can you make room for me?
And
the answer is yes. Yeah. That is the answer. Well, someone goes, well, how? Well, they're gonna break somebody's heart. Someone's gonna get gray shirted. Someone's gonna get, hey, all of a sudden, it isn't gonna be fun and it isn't gonna be pleasant. But they're gonna find a way. And that's why I tell people, they're like, well, you know, the numbers, they've got 31 kids. I get it, but you make that work. Yeah. Now, that might not apply to Strong or to Phillips or those type kids. I don't know. But my point is when people say, well, there's no room. Oh, there's always room.
Yeah, I mean, before the post-early signing day press conference, people weren't sure how many spots Ole Miss had left to play with. So the possibility of taking Strong wasn't really there at the time. And the expectation was that Phillips was going to come in during spring practice and, you know, fight for reps at running back. And after the press conference, obviously, when he said 8 to 9 additional spots, people's eyes kind of opened and were like, hey, we could take Charles Strong. Hey, we could take Harold Joyner. And with that, the possibility of not taking another offensive lineman or, you know, taking 3 wide receivers instead of 2, those possibilities have all come up. And, you know, Phillips is going to fight for reps next year, at least from everybody I've heard. I didn't get the chance to see Jones County play this year, but Strong would also have the same possibilities. He would just be a little bit behind the eight ball, seeing that he is not going to be enrolling early.
Doug Goose, which is a great username, ask a question. It's a good question. It's complicated, and it's weird, and it changes from year to year. But the question is, Russell, will you explain the difference between the Army All-American game and the Under Armour All-American game? Why do some choose one and not the other? How is the experience for each? Is one more popular these days?
If you'll notice, the class of 2019 in Mississippi, I believe, has 5 or 6 Under Armour All-Americans for next year. And that's partially due to Demetric Warren being in the area and being a part of the selection committee. The state of Mississippi normally does get into the Under Armour All-American games over the Army games. And I don't know if it's just a matter of Demetric. I don't know if it's a matter of the Army Bowl placing a higher priority on other states such as Texas, California, Georgia, Florida, Ohio. I mean, it's completely changed in the past several years, because at one point the Under Armour game was thought as the premier All-American game and that everybody would strive to go. And then the Army game kind of stepped up their gear with Adidas and with the marketing and San Antonio and the whole experience. And you actually, I don't know if you're on Twitter, obviously, did you see Zach Soskin's tweet earlier this week?
I did not.
Do you know who Zach Soskin is?
He is the guy from Saved by the Bell.
No, he's an executive with Adidas.
Oh,
yes. And they take some nice shots at each other with the Under Armour game and the Army All-American game. It was cold in Orlando yesterday, so they did their walkthrough in a hotel ballroom. And instead of doing their practice at a hotel ballroom, the Army All-American game was in some type of dome, I think in Frisco.
Okay.
And it was just interesting to see the way that they kind of go back and forth. It's a nice, fun way to compete. I mean, obviously, they're not usually the same week, which has kind of made our national writers, I can imagine they're exhausted. I mean, because you've got the Under Armour game on Thursday night. Obviously, you'll hear this on Friday. And then Saturday, you've got the Army game. It's not normally like that.
I think Rivals just divided up their national people.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And then, you know, the sites that cover programs that are recruiting a lot of those guys.
Yeah, I would recommend Ole Miss fans watch both games.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you've got Elijah Moore tonight. You've got Merlin Robertson tonight. You've got Richard Garage tonight, the offensive tackle that Corral mentioned in his interview with Woody Womack earlier today. And then on Saturday, you've obviously got the chance to see Corral. You've got the chance to see William Barnes. You've got, oh, man, the Army game has quite a bit of talent.
Okay, let's see. Reb in Ark is asking basically about 2019 running backs. That's essentially the question.
Eric Gray, Lausanne, Tennessee. He's a running back. You're looking at me like you have no idea who he is.
No, I've heard the name.
Yeah, Eric Gray. And there's another one. It's Davian Barlow from Texas. He's kind of someone that Ole Miss has heard from quite a bit, and they've kind of been exchanging quite a bit of interest. And then there's also Rodriguez Clark from Starkville. He could emerge. Obviously, like I said earlier, the whole thing happened with State. Ole Miss is interested in him as well.
William Falkbear wants to know, what would it take to get Charles Strong and Cameron McDonald? And also wanted updates on Tank Jenkins and Ja'Cory Hawkins.
Ja'Cory Hawkins is going to visit UCLA. UCLA's shown quite a bit of interest since the new staff took over. Him and Tank Jenkins are good friends, and the hope is for Ole Miss, if they do keep Ja'Cory Hawkins in this class, is that he can get Tank Jenkins and or Kevontae Ruggs in with him. Jenkins is an Auburn lean. He's going to visit Auburn, obviously, as well as Ole Miss. The Ole Miss visit, prior to other reports, is going to be on January 19th. And then what was the first question? Was Strong and McDonald?
Yeah, what would it take to get both of them?
They're gonna have to. They would have to take McDonald at wide receiver currently, the way the numbers match up, and they would have to tell either Marquez Ezard or Miles Battle, no thanks.
Have you heard anything about grad transfer candidates at running back?
There's one from Boston College, and there is one from running back. It's John Hillman from Boston College, and it's Trayvon McMillan from Virginia Tech. No idea what kind of interest Ole Miss has in them, but those are the two main grad transfer running backs on the market right now.
Does taking a tight end mean that Dawson Knox will not be on scholarship?
I don't see those two playing a factor in each other. Obviously, Dawson Knox's performance this past season warranted a scholarship, but if they have the opportunity to take someone like Cameron McDonald or even Glenn Beal, I mean, their potential and having 4 to 5 years with them in development could also warrant not giving a scholarship to Dawson Knox on some level.
WAMFOM.
Rapid fire now.
WAMFOM?
Yes.
WAMFOM. His signature includes... Where do you stand on Kate Upton?
Kate Upton. She's all right.
Come on, stop. She's just all right.
My wife listens to this podcast.
No, my wife listens to podcasts too. We've had the Kate Upton discussion in our house. Your wife has had Kate Upton discussions with people.
I take it.
Yeah, I mean, the people that do this, Kate Upton is not hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, I mean.
That's the easy way to put it.
Even women say she's hot. Stop. I could just watch that signature for days. He wants to know, are there any secret recruits out there in the works?
I can't tell if you're laughing at the question or the signature with Kate Upton.
Well, it's just, you will discover this. You've not been here enough signing days to know it. Somewhere in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a, quote, mystery recruit. It's going to be a media creation. And it'll be used to stir the pot.
Do they gain subscribers from it?
I don't know.
Do they up their clicks? Is that?
I don't even think it's that. I think it's just.
It's just fun?
Fandom, excitement. That's it. That's what I think. And I think it just creates storylines that are completely ridiculous.
I would agree with that. I don't expect there to be any type of mystery recruits. Members of RebelGrove.com, they'll know any mystery recruits' names far before they will anywhere else.
Okay. Obviously, this coming football season, offensive line's going to be pretty good for Ole Miss. I mean, they've got a bunch of guys that are back, a lot of experience, ought to be a strength. Some of those guys are going to be leaving fairly soon. Greg Little's probably bolting after next season. What's the offensive line look like for 2019 recruiting?
You've got Brandon Cunningham from St. Martin. He's currently committed to Miami, but he grew up an Ole Miss fan and would be really interested in an offer were it to come. And then you've got Sean Adams from the Memphis area, someone who has an offer. I don't know if he's going to project at guard or tackle at the next level, but you could really see Ole Miss kind of, you know, use the not the resume, but what's going on at left tackle lately at Ole Miss. You know, you've got Laramie Tunsil, you plug and play for 3 years. You've got Greg Little, you plug and play for 3 years. Insert blank five-star tackle here and play for 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've got that in your back pocket, you can use that in recruiting, which is something that they plan to do. So you might not see, you know, someone like the Brandon Cunninghams get an early offer as they might have in between. Like, if he was a class of 2018 kid, he'd already be in this class.
All right. You mentioned a kid from Memphis. This is a question. It's a legitimate question.
It's a constant question.
But it's legit. Some questions are like, come on, man. Like the mystery crew question. This is a legit question. What steps is the new staff taking to do a better job recruiting the Memphis area?
They're going to work on, you know, placing a different coach there, whether it be Derek Nix, whether it be Peeler, whether it be Roach. I mean, anybody, even Charles Clark, the incoming cornerbacks coach, bringing somebody, some fresh meat in there, in that area, anybody, is a great idea. And from that, you've got to use Austin Thomas, if you do end up hiring him, as someone who can get a new coach into the door with some of these guys, some of the coaches. You've got Memphis East, who has quite a bit of talent in 2019 and beyond. You've got Whitehaven, obviously, turning out D1 kids every year. And, you know, those areas, and obviously Los Angeles has become and recruited well enough to become a high school powerhouse pretty quickly, to the point they haven't lost a game in 2 years.
And if you're going to max out at Ole Miss, I mean, it's keeping it real.
Yeah.
If you're going to max out at Ole Miss, you've got to recruit Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense.
You're not going
to
dominate it.
But no.
You've got to have an impact there.
Yeah, you have to, because, you know, losing Jeremy Banks and Jerome Carvin to Tennessee, when Tennessee offered Banks the week before early signing period, was nuts. He didn't have to sign early, but as soon as Tennessee offered and came in, he did, and he wanted to. But Ole Miss offered far after. What was it, Nebraska, USC, several other big-time schools came in and offered him before Harris and Ole Miss came in.
The results in Memphis are inexcusable. And if you're going to max out at Ole Miss, I've said this to people, and most people don't get mad about it. Some people do.
Yeah.
Two things. People say, what do you have to do at Ole Miss to win big? All right, well, on field, you have to start every season 6-0. You have to win all four of your non-league games, and you have to beat Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. You have to win those games.
Every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
Bottom line, people go, well, no one's going to do that. I understand that. If you want to max out at Ole Miss, that's part of the equation. If you want to max out at Ole Miss in recruiting, I don't know that Ole Miss is ever, in my opinion, you've been here a little while, you can tell me, I don't know that Ole Miss is ever going to recruit nationally. If it is, it's not imaginable right now.
No, not at all. I agree with you on that. I've been here a little while.
I don't think they're ever going to be able to recruit nationally the way that Alabama does, or the way that there aren't many programs that do it. Oklahoma can do it. There's a handful of programs, a very small handful. And I don't think Ole Miss is ever going to be in that handful. Now, can you cherry pick some kids? Absolutely. You can do that. But part of your recruiting strategy to be successful, to max out here, to become a power at Ole Miss, is to recruit Memphis extremely effectively. And they've not done anything resembling that.
Who was the last big-time recruit in Memphis to choose Ole Miss?
I should know this. Jalen Walton?
Really?
Christian Robinson?
Wow.
Who went to UCLA first? It's been a while. I don't know. I can't remember. I'm sure someone's yelling at their podcast machine right now going, no, Neil, it's... But the point is I can't list a string of anybody.
So I can get there in less than 90 minutes, and Ole Miss hasn't signed an impressive recruit since Jalen Walton and Christian Robinson.
If they have, I can't think of who it is.
Well, even that the fact that you have to think about that is just... It's absurd. I mean, like I just said, I could get there in less than 90 minutes.
Yes.
It takes longer to get to Jackson than it does Memphis.
Yes. Yes.
It's crazy.
Today's show is brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? Well, it's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no-obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. if you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast, well, listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. All right. Starting to wind it down a little. Do you see any of the 3 stars or likely commits receiving any bumps to 4 stars in final rankings?
Jaden McDonald could, the linebacker from North Gwinnett. Everybody was just fascinated and blown away by his performance in the state title game. And basically his overall performance this year, he exceeded expectations, and he's gone pretty far up already. I mean, if not a 4-star, he'll be at the 5.7 threshold.
C. Strand wants to know, how do you think the staff ranks the 2018 wide receiver targets remaining? He mentions Ezard, Hall, Bush, Battle.
I'll go Ezard, Battle, Hall, Bush.
Okay. Any major out-of-state targets that Ole Miss may be in on 2019?
There's quite a few. You've got Ish Sopcher, the defensive tackle from Louisiana. He's going to end up at LSU, but you asked for targets. You've got Theo Weiss, the wide receiver from Allen.
That LSU deal could get weird in 2018 on the football field.
It could get really weird.
That deal could get squirrely fast.
I mean, who's going to be their offensive coordinator? Do they have one?
It's going to be Steve Ensminger.
That's the offensive line coach or tight ends coach?
He was the tight ends coach, I think. It's just going to get weird.
Who's their quarterback?
That would be, I believe, either Miles Brennan or Lowell Narcisse.
Okay, so yeah, so I can continue on this list then, because LSU is going to get real interesting. You've got Sopcher. You've got Theo Weiss from Allen, Texas. You've got Clay Webb from Oxford, Alabama. He camped at Ole Miss last year. Really impressive center. I think he's a 5-star on Rivals. Quinn Carroll, offensive tackle. He's at 2019 from Minnesota, of all places. Let's see. You've got Brian Williams, a safety from Texas. Keandre Jones, offensive lineman from Georgia. He's from Callaway out there. Ole Miss is obviously trying to build some type of relationship at Callaway in Georgia, taking Braylon Sanders last year, and there's quite a few 2019 kids and 2020 kids that they're interested in. And then you've obviously got the Memphis area kids. You got Shamar Nash, Eric Gregory, Eric Gray, as we mentioned earlier. But I don't really consider Memphis out of state, and maybe that's just my mentality.
No, Memphis can't be out of state. You have to treat Memphis as it's part of Mississippi.
Yeah.
If you don't recruit Memphis, you're not maximizing your abilities.
Right.
It is what it is. And there will be people who will hear that and say, you're taking shots. I'm not taking shots. I'm talking about results.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not just my mindset then. So
it would be like Auburn saying, we're going to treat Atlanta like it's out of state.
Exactly.
It'd be ludicrous.
Yeah.
Except Atlanta's even further from Auburn than Memphis is from Oxford.
Yeah, it's about two and a half hours?
It's less than 2 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can be in Atlanta from Auburn in a little less than 2 hours. So you have to treat that like home territory.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
For God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not the only school that's going to treat Atlanta as home territory, but if you're Auburn and you don't recruit Atlanta, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and that's something that Auburn's kind of built their program off of is, you know, recruiting in the state of Georgia, not just Atlanta.
Yeah, they're 20 minutes from the state line.
Yeah, exactly.
It's inexcusable, frankly. The results that Ole Miss has failed to get out of Memphis is inexcusable. I'm surprised it hasn't been more of an outcry.
Agreed.
Because you're never going to dominate Mississippi.
No.
See, that's part of it, too. Everybody goes, well, you got to dominate Mississippi. We're not going to.
No, I mean,
The dynamics of the state are such that you're not going to dominate Mississippi. Now, you can win Mississippi, but Mississippi State's going to get their share of the in-state kids. Because there's some of those kids that it's more of a natural fit, et cetera. You're overcoming coaching ties, and you're not going to always overcome all of that. Any more than Mississippi State's going to dominate the state of Mississippi.
That is very true. Yes, I mean the high school coaches they have some type of impact, and quite a few of them have their say. I mean, Callaway's coach and James Williams held him off from Ole Miss for quite some time, but obviously we saw the end result with that.
I think you already asked, you already answered about Hawkins. Is he the highest of the cornerback options?
I mean, you've got Mario Goodrich coming in, but I would say he's all but a done deal to LSU currently. If LSU doesn't end up with Goodrich, then yeah, I mean, Ole Miss could emerge there. Again, with the cornerback position, we're going to have to see what Charles Clark is looking for. He might not be interested in a 5'11 corner from Montgomery, Alabama. He might be looking for a 6'1 corner who's physical and can play man-to-man.
CC Barnett wants to know, do you expect N'Kobe Dean and Nathan Pickering to make their decisions before the fall, or will they go until December/February?
The longer Pickering waits to announce a commitment, the better it is for Ole Miss. Pickering's related to Michael McLaurin from Mississippi State, and he's got quite a few state people around him, which I've learned in recent weeks. I would say, the longer Pickering waits to commit to either Mississippi State or Ole Miss, or you know, any other school for that matter, the better it is. LSU could also be in the picture there. LSU and Alabama are doing the best they can to make their name felt early and in the state of Mississippi. So I went back and I looked at, you know, the past several years, decommitments who committed to Alabama early and ended up elsewhere. You've got Benito Jones. You've got D.D. Bowie. I mean, Brandon Turner could very much end up being on that list when National Signing Day 2019 comes around.
All right, last one. Pastor V asks, or could be Pastor the Fifth. Probably Pastor V. He says, I have another question. It's about Junior Day and its timing. It seems to be a bold decision to bring them in at the height of the 2018 recruiting cycle and putting off 2018 official visitors until the next weekend. What are your thoughts?
It's an opportunity that not many other schools nationally are using. Obviously, the dead period ends next week. They've got the coaches' convention. They'll be coming back into town, and they'll be preparing for, instead of a big official visit weekend, they'll be preparing for a junior day. And with that, these kids in the class, they don't have anywhere else to go. I mean, 2019 kids, I mean, where else are they going to go? They might have a basketball game or something like that, but they don't have other official visits or other schools competing for that visit. It also goes to show for the priority that Ole Miss is showing in the class of 2019. It's far, I wouldn't say it's far more important after seeing the way that they're focusing on 2018.
I would.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It is. It is more important than the class of 2018.
It doesn't make the 2018 class not important. But
right,
the 2019
right.
class is the one that will define Matt Luke.
Yes.
And he's apparently smart enough to see it. I'm impressed by that.
Yeah.
But he's attacked it from day one.
Yes.
There's no pushback on anybody like me who says that. I think he's probably sitting there, not that Matt's listening to this on his podcast machine, but if he were to hear it, he would say, yeah, that's... Through no fault of his own, that is absolutely true.
Right, and then the coaches are going to be back out on the road shortly after the junior day, so they're kind of trying to make one more big push for the class of 2019 and, you know, pushing for, which I expect, at least one or two commitments during next weekend. They want to make one more push before they get on the road and, you know, get back to the in-home visits and trying to close on the class of 2018.
Well, Russell, that was a lot of information in 53 minutes. So we had 5 minutes of LeBron James, 48 minutes of recruiting. People will still be pissed. But it was good. I was curious about LeBron. That's all. I knew you were up there.
Yeah.
I was curious. And we got to almost all of the recruiting. Some of it was redundant, and so I moved on.
Yeah, someone asked a pizza question, too, in there.
Yeah, I avoided the pizza question.
That's your best friend.
I like Mr. Pizza. He's fine. I just decided that I wasn't going to feed the beast at this point. I was going to let it starve a little. We'll be back. We'll tape something early next week because I've got travel middle part of the week next week. So we'll try to get something to you quickly. Next week on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Our thanks to Billy's Pecans. Again, it's billyspecans.com, B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com. For Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it. Until next week, take care.